From KMUW Wichita.
From Toronto, Ontario.
And from Armenia, Spain.
This is You're Saying It Wrong. Let's talk words. Let's talk about the letters that make up words. It's time for a devilishly difficult spelling quiz. I'm Fletcher Powell, host and producer at KMUW in Wichita, Kansas. And joining me, as they do each week, language experts and New York Times best-selling authors Kathy Petras and Ross Petras. Hi, Kathy. Hi, Ross. You've told me that we're going to have an extremely difficult spelling quiz today. And so I'm going to throw a hissing fit about that. Have you ever heard anybody say this? Hissing fit? Instead of a...
I've heard hissy fit.
Of course. Of course. That's what it's supposed to be, right? So I won't tell you where I saw this because it's stupider than you can possibly imagine. But I saw this written out the other day in a post online. Somebody was claiming someone else was having a hissing fit. I was just curious
if you've
ever heard anybody say this before.
I love it. I think that's much more fun, isn't it? Oh, what a hissing fit. Although, where did hissy fit come from?
It does come from people doing like hissing.
Really?
Having a fit of hissing. Yes. I just looked it up as you guys were speaking.
That's funny because I looked it up too, and Merriam-Webster said they think it might have come from a shortening of hysterical.
That's what OED says too. I just checked. The OED is saying hysterical.
Yeah, because I guess it turns out it used to just be called a hissy. I didn't realize this.
Mm-hmm.
It was called a hissy before it was called a hissing fit. Before it was called a hissy fit. And at least in Merriam-Webster, it says perhaps by shortening and an alteration from hysterical.
It's interesting because here I'm looking at Eddie Online and it says it comes from hiss. The direct hissy as an adjective comes from hiss.
OED is definitely saying hysterical like Merriam-Webster.
Yeah, no, I see that too. This is just interesting that Eddie Online has a different origin, which is interesting.
Anyway, we are kicking off before the spelling quiz with something on indefinite articles. You got to remind me what indefinite articles are. Is this like a and an?
It's like a.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay.
Exactly. And they're also called, in this case, the question, this is getting a little grammatical here. They're also called determiners. And that's a word that determines the kind of reference you're making to a noun. For example, a dog, the dog, every dog. That word in front kind of like says, what kind of, you know, what are we talking about here?
Okay.
The dog, a general dog, every dog, etc.
Okay.
What I'm going to ask you here, if we put this in front of a certain type of word, does it change the meaning dramatically? And here I'm going to give you an example of few. Now, put a determiner, but put the A in front of a few. It's interesting. It changes the meaning almost completely.
We're specifically... Can I interrupt, Ross?
Sure.
I want to say we're specifically talking about the indefinite article A in this case.
Yes.
We're not talking about the or every. We're talking about, I want to make that clear.
Yeah, we're not going to say it's every few. Yeah, exactly.
It's A is the word that we're discussing. Okay.
Does that change meaning dramatically?
So like if the sentence were something like, few people enjoy this. If we put the indefinite article A in front of that, it would turn into a few people enjoy this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean,
it's interesting.
It sort of does change it. At least it changes the feeling of what you're saying, right? Because when you say few people enjoy this, you're saying not very many do. And when you say a few people enjoy this, you're saying there's a few.
There's a few.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, which I think is sort of cool. And then we could do it with little, too. Try it with little.
Little, yeah. I have little patience for this, or I have a little patience for this. Yeah, it does. It does. That's really interesting. Wow.
Isn't it? It's a really big deal, really, when you think about it. And that's, I think, the problem with learning a language, because you throw that in and, you know, if you don't speak the language very well and know that nuance, you got real problems here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the interesting thing is that the adding of the A makes it more of a positive, whereas the not having the A makes it much more of a negative.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fletcher has a little patience, you know, with that little child. Fletcher has little patience with that child. We have a completely different attitude towards Fletcher.
Yeah.
Usually it makes it the A is a quantifier, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that makes it the positive or the negative.
Yes, exactly. Well, let's move along to spelling now. Let's get Fletcher on that one.
Oh, boy.
We looked up, like, spelling in English and where do people have the most problems. And Merriam-Webster had a really interesting thing, and which is fairly obvious to all of us at this point, is that most words that we have difficulty spelling come from, they're not native English words.
Sure,
they
yeah.
come in from other languages.
Yeah.
And French and German obviously are the big pains for us, as well as Latin. And apparently Latin is the worst. Latin are the most common stumbling blocks in the in English spelling bees. Then comes ancient Greek, which I think would make sense.
As we remember in, what, the 18th century or something, a whole bunch of jokers decided to make all of our spellings more like Latin.
Yep.
Which
exactly.
Is that the right 18th century? And so
yeah.
that really made things a whole lot easier on all of us, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. It did.
Thanks, guys.
It did. And apparently the worst words are occurring in terms of spelling bee things. 38% of misspelled words were nature and natural science.
But those that makes sense because they're made, most of them are Greek or Latin.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there
exactly.
you have it.
Yeah. I mean, exactly.
Because that there always throws me. I mean, yeah. once you know the rules slightly, you can figure it out.
Yeah.
Then they said, yeah, next it was medicine, arts, political, or legal. But again, medicine and the arts, I would argue most of them are probably Latin or Greek-based, too.
Yeah. And legal, too. Yeah, yep. Latin,
yeah.
right. And then modern language, just on a minor note, on going to modern languages, you can probably guess French is the toughest language to spell. 19% of all misspelled words come from the French. Then second and third place were German and Italian.
German surprised me, actually. I don't think of German as particularly difficult. German words like Zeitgeist or Schadenfreude or something. They seem to be nice and clean to me.
I think I agree with you. I think you're right. That'd be interesting to find out what are the hardest Germanic words to pronounce. Because I think you're right. I can sort of sound them out. Yeah.
The two words that always throw me in spelling are not... Well, millennial or millennium. Millennium, I always have problem. I have to stop to spell millennium.
Yeah. It's those double letters. We've talked about this when we've done spelling quizzes before.
Yep.
It's always those double letters, at least when it comes to like common words.
Yeah, the other one I always have problems spelling is Caribbean. Same thing.
Sure.
I mean, I can spell it, but I stop. I have to every time. I'm like, is it double R or double B?
Right.
That's so funny, Kathy, because I have two words that are really common and that I constantly blow.
Uh-huh.
And those are broccoli.
Broccoli.
I know how to spell it. I know how to spell it, but I automatically type a double L in there. I know it's not.
Uh-huh.
And then buffalo. Buffalo, I always start.
That's interesting.
I always start doing. Huh. I mean, both of those I know how to spell. If you had a spelling bee, I could spell them, but automatically when I'm typing really fast, I'll like whiz that out.
What about Fletcher? What about you? What are the not hard but stop you words?
Accommodate. Absolutely accommodate. Even right now, as I'm saying that, I can't tell you for sure whether there's two M's or one M. Any others are very much those double letters. It's always, do you have...
Especially, that's what throws... Well, the obvious, it's all of us.
Yeah, especially when you might have two double letters somewhere in the word. That's really hard.
Occur. That's another one I always had problems
occurrence,
with.
Occurrence. Like occurrence, right? Occur seems, seems reasonable, but occurrence, that seems hard.
Yeah. I'm going to actually stop here and tell people listening, what are the toughest words for you? I mean, they can be easy ones because we're admitting this.
Yeah.
Ross said broccoli, for God's sake.
Yeah.
You know?
And I even like broccoli a lot, too, so I should be able to spell it.
We're not necessarily talking about like those Greek words that start with a silent C or something, right? Yeah, those don't make any sense.
I'm very curious to see if everybody else has the double letter problem.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I really am.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of Greek, though, Fletcher, we're going to start with the word that has its origins in Greece and probably other languages from before that. And we would like you to spell, define the word and then spell it.
Great.
Okay.
Okay.
First word is hemorrhage.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well, a hemorrhage is like a bleed. Okay. All right. Yeah. This is good. This is one that I always mess up because I can't remember where the H goes. H-E-M. Now, are there two M's? This has so many problems in it. Like, where are the double?
Yes, it does.
Where are the double letters? Where does the H go?
Yep.
Hemorrhage or hemorrhage?
You're reasoning through this very well, though.
Yeah, you are.
I'm working really hard on this. Hem. Okay. H E M O R R H A G E.
You got
Beautiful.
It.
Beautiful.
Ah, you did
yeah,
it.
Yeah, baby.
H E M O R R H A G E.
You got it. You got the two. You got the double R perfectly. Interestingly enough, I mean, we're going to throw you a little interesting fact here. According to Merriam-Webster, there are 394 words with RRH in it.
Almost English words.
English words, uh-huh. Yes. There are a lot of Greek words, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Almost all of them are medical. There are four common ones. Can you think of four common RRH words?
I'm interrupting. One of them is hemorrhage.
Well, I was going to say, yes.
One of them is two spellings of the same word.
Right. Exactly. Oh, good, Kathy.
And where are we lumping hemorrhoid in with hemorrhage? Or is hemorrhoid spelled differently? No, that's
hemorrhoid is spelled
H-E-M-O-R-R-H-O-I-D, right?
Hemorrhoid is
R-R-H. H-E-M-O-R-R-H. That's
Fletcher, you got it.
List.
You got it. That was not on our list. We're doing a bad thing with lists there, Kathy.
What are you looking at me for?
Okay, we have four words. We have hemorrhoid. You just gave us two.
Okay.
We're going to get rid of the other spelling of the other one.
Okay.
So we have hemorrhage, hemorrhoid.
Oh, it seems like there's one that ought to be pretty obvious to me that I'm...
Yes. One is. The other one is kind of hard. It doesn't really count. Well, as soon as you get this one, we'll go with the other.
Oh, diarrhea.
You got it.
Yes.
You got it.
And then I guess logorrhea, right?
Logorrhea, yes.
Yeah, that's. But these are supposed to be common words that you more commonly use.
Yeah, but there's also myrrh they had. So we should have
actually... myrrh. Okay, yeah.
What exactly is myrrh anyway? Do you guys know? It's a resin.
Oh, a resin. Yeah, okay.
It's a sap-like resin that comes out of cuts from the common camphora tree.
Yeah.
Myrrh. No, I never thought about resin. Next word is possibly easier. I have problems with this one.
I have a problem with this one too.
The word is moccasin. You don't have to define it. We know what we all know moccasin.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So again, as we talked about, these double letters are tricky. Two S's does not seem right. Two C's seems right. M-O-C-C-A-S-I-N.
Gosh, you're doing good, Fletcher.
Thanks. When I picture it in my head, and I'll remind people that I pretty much never write these down. Why? I don't know. I made this stupid rule for myself at one point, and I'm sticking to it. Yeah, but when I picture it in my head, two S's looks really wrong.
Mm-hmm.
What throws me all the time, and the problem with most people is the double C. Do you need a double C or not?
Mm-hmm.
What throws me always is the S-I-N. I don't know why I think it should be S-A-I-N, even though it's not pronounced that way.
You put that in. That was interesting, Kathy. I noticed that.
Yeah.
That was really interesting.
You don't have that. Neither
do
you.
No.
It doesn't look right to me having S-I-N. I don't know why, but it throws me.
No, this was on the list of really commonly misspelled words for spelling bee people. And this one did not get to me.
Interesting.
I mean, but it's interesting because it did to you, which is, it's always interesting how that sort of works.
Yeah, I mean, it came from Algonquian, they think, or meaning shoe, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The next word is tough. It's iridescent.
Iridescent. I-R-I-D-E-S-C-E-N-T.
You got
Beautiful.
It, Fletcher.
Ooh,
yeah, the very common thing is to want to do the double R. But when you think about it, iris, iris is one R, and it comes from that.
I like that word. Maybe that's why I spelled it correctly. I kind of like that word. Mm-hmm. It feels nice to me. It feels like what it is.
It looks like what it is, too. I mean, when you look at it in print, which you're not, but I mean, it does. I was going to say, we should give them the whole list. I just realized that kind of makes a spelling test bad. The next word I always have problems with, coming from the French, the word is connoisseur.
Okay, connoisseur. Aye, aye, aye. Ooh, all right. Someone who knows. C-O-N-N-O-I-S-S-E-U-R.
Beautiful. Wow, you're batting a thousand.
Really,
Holy smoke.
The toughest part there for me was whether I needed two N's. And then I decided whether it's true or not that a connoisseur is someone who knows something, and in French, connaître with two N's is to know.
Very good.
Yeah. So that's how I got there.
Okay.
Okay, the next word is obeisance.
Okay. Obeisance. Now, I cannot define this for you. I don't know what obeisance is, unless it's just like has something related to obey.
Yep.
Yes.
You got it.
It's the act of obeying submissively.
Yeah. Okay. 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 Not that I use this word very often. So let me
no?
think. Is it? I don't think there's anything. None of those. Obeisance.
Yes.
You
very
got
good,
it. Fletcher. Okay. This is really disappointing.
Fletcher, you're upsetting us. I've got a problem here.
I'm feeling good. I don't know what's wrong with you guys.
Watch it. The problem is that in many people's heads, they think it's obeisance. Most people, many people think like mischievous. Like they add the athletic. And then the EI followed by SA. A lot of times they get rid of the I. They make it like. Or they get rid of the E. It'd be O-B-E-S-A-N-C or O-B-I-S-A-N-C-E.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. That seems like the sort of word you wouldn't use unless you knew how to spell it.
I think you're absolutely right. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. It doesn't, it's not nothing. I mean, it's not one of those things that you usually, I mean, I think of it more as like somebody doing like that, you know, the thing with their head going like a servilely bowing in a attitude of obeisance.
Is that genuflecting?
Yeah. That is genuflecting, which is a word I love and I never use, but I do like that word. Okay, Ross?
Okay, the next one, this has varying pronunciations, but I'm going to pronounce it the standard first definition, which is paroxysm.
Paroxysm. Paroxysm. I don't know what that is. I know, like, this is not an entirely new word to me. I've heard this word, but I don't know what a paroxysm is.
It's sort of like a fit.
Oh, okay.
A sudden fit.
Well, like you're coughing and you got a coughing jag. It's like a paroxysm of coughing.
Hmm. Okay. Paroxysm.
Well, Fletcher, you may not know the definition, but you certainly know the spelling.
I'm really, Ross, what the hell is wrong here?
I know.
I'm angry.
He's going to get the next one.
Paroxysm.
He's going to get the next one, too. I
probably will not. Tell me more about paroxysm, though. Like, tell me about the parts of that word. How does that turn into a coughing fit or whatever kind of fit? What is parox or is the, and why is it YSM and not ISM? I guess it's not a belief system. So it's not an ism.
Well, it comes from the Greek para, like in, like para, P-A-R-A, as you know, parable or whatever, which is like beyond. And then oxynein in Greek would be to sharpen. So it's beyond sharpening, sharp pointed. So then it's like sudden, quick, sharp.
Violent. Oh, wow.
That's
okay.
Sort of.
Okay. I see that.
Sudden, quick, sharp. I like that.
Yeah, I know. And it came,
you
of course,
could be a doctor.
Yeah. And it came, of course, from the Greek to the Latin to the French.
Yeah. Okay.
To Old French.
And the problem with people spelling it is often people don't have the Y. They're not aware that if you don't know the Greek concept of the Y, you know, they'll just put an I in. Mm-hmm. X and Y gets confusing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's usually most people think ism, like criticism something.
Yeah.
As opposed to why.
Which makes sense. Okay, Fletcher, the next one's going to be easy.
That does not sound good for
me. I'm getting angry, Ross. I'm getting very angry.
He's going to go. We should, like, change this to a fake word in here.
We could do it quickly.
Wrong. Yeah. This one I know you're going to get. Resuscitate.
Resuscitate.
I pronounce it very sloppily, if you notice, Kathy.
R-E.
Hopefully he'll.
S. C U S S I T A T E.
Wrong.
We did it. Wrong.
Resuscitate. What did I do wrong? See, that's hard. That's hard to visualize and get all those letters out.
Double consonant issue. Ha.
Yes.
It's not. It's R E S U S C I T A T E.
R E S U S. Resus.
Yes.
Oh, did I say two S's? R-E-S-S?
No, you said R-E-S-C.
S-C.
Oh, yeah, because S-C-U wouldn't make any sense, would it? It didn't make any sense when I was saying it either, but I couldn't. R-E-S-U-S-C.
C-I-T. It's not double consonant problem.
Right. No, Yep. No, that makes perfect
it's
sense.
Phonetic ambiguity.
I think if I
that's what it is.
Yeah, I think if I'd written that out and actually seen it, then I don't think I would have made that same mistake. But when I said SCU, that didn't make any sense when I said it. But I
No, I
think you probably would have got it.
You would not have done that.
Yeah,
and then I deliberately pronounced it very poorly. I mean, very kind of casually, because some people do the U, they think it's like an E or an I, resuscitate.
Oh, no.
R-E-S-E or R-E-S-I, you know, which is wrong, too.
Yeah.
The S-C is I'm very proud. I can now relax. Today I'm a happy woman. This came from the Latin.
To summon.
To rouse again.
Yeah, catare, yeah.
This is a toughie, I think, vicissitude.
I think it is, too. This one's tough. Fletcher's going to get it, though, I think.
I know he will, which is why I don't like him anymore. Yeah. Lewis. I say, let's dump him and do the show without him. What do you think, Ross? Don't tell him.
What is a vicissitude? I mean, I know the phrase like the vicissitudes of life, but I don't exactly know what that means. Like, what is a vicissitude?
Sort of changing from one thing to another, passing from one state to another.
Okay.
It's funny. I'm glad you asked that, Fletcher, because I think that's one of those words that we all use, or many of us use, in a phrase, like you just said, vicissitudes of it, without being completely clear what it is, but we know the phrase, and it fits in this slot, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think it's V-I-C-I, S-S, V-I-C-I, T-U-D-E, vicissitude.
You got it.
Okay.
You got it.
Ross, thank heavens for resuscitate.
For resuscitate, yep, which I
spelled, agree. I know that saved us.
Spelled it resuscitate, I think. Ugh, that's just disappointing.
We're pleased though. You did that for us, didn't you? You just tossed us one, didn't you?
I would never.
Here's a word that's very common in Canada, not so common, I would imagine, in Kansas, but toboggan.
Oh, toboggan.
Yay, Ross! I'm glad you
let's hope.
Put this in.
Let's hope.
Two B's or two G's.
To be or not to be.
Shoot. T-O-B-B-O-G-A-N. Toboggan.
We got it, Kath.
Yes!
All right.
Toast, Ross. I'm proud of you.
Go Canada.
I didn't think this was a good one.
I know. I know.
Is it
our home and native land? Yeah.
One B and two G's? It's not.
Yep.
Correcto mundo.
Yeah.
Darn it.
The interesting thing is it comes from Algonquian, but the French, it came into English via the French, Canadian French. Tabarain, or I guess, I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's, I should have asked my Quebec friend, but it's T, it's no double B, no double G, T-A-B-A-G-A-N-E.
Oh.
Which is Tabagan. From the 1800s.
Tabagan.
And then it got the double G.
How about that?
I gotta say, I would be more tempted to make it a double B as well. Double G looks weird to me.
I'm trying to write it as...
That looks wrong too.
No, that looks, I just wrote it as double B. It looks really wrong. I think if Fletcher, just try to write it. I think if you wrote it, you would have seen the G. Just write it right now.
I also think that I would get confused with possibly the A-N at the end.
Oh, toboggan?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's funny because I just saw this word the other day. Oh, that does look really wrong, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you guys, but I rarely use the term. I can't think of the last time I talked about tobogganing. I mean, I never have toboggans, and I don't think I will. I mean, I'm in Spain now, although we're right by the Sierra Nevada, so never mind. Okay, this word, I know how to spell it, and Ross did not immediately. The word is cloisonné.
I have no idea what this is. A cloisonné?
Fletcher, that makes me feel good, too, because I
didn't
know
either. That's what
you
didn't either. Oh, it's like it's if you know, like, decorating-y sort of stuff, cloisonné, it's a craft item, actually. It's like you've got a metal object, and it has enamel on it that's separated by little strips. Very, very, it can be extraordinarily fine. So I know it from that.
Good God.
Cloisonné.
I knew that it was something decorate-y, boxy or something, but that was like about it. I mean, it literally means divided into compartments and from basically we go back into Latin clausio, which is like to close, to show, claudere, to close or to shut.
I would not have guessed that it's from, you know, compartments, but in effect, that's, you know, because it's separated by.
But I had it as like a kid, because mom would maybe talk about it, or you would talk about it, sort of boring decorating thing that I don't really care about. Something with a box, maybe. That's my definition.
Huh. C-L-O-I-S-O-N-N-E-T?
Oh,
Fletcher.
Okay, speaking of decorating and stuff, there was an old saw when you're going out of the room, women are told to take one accessory off before you leave the house. You look yourself in the mirror and go, I'll take off that one necklace.
Yeah.
In this case, you should have taken
just
off that T.
Just stopped at E? Yeah, I wondered if I stopped at E, does it have like a little accent or something?
It does. It does have an accent.
Yeah, okay.
It does.
All right. Well, that makes sense.
But could we pronounce it? Could we write it without the accent, though, in English? Because we don't really have accents like on our computer or something. I mean, we could get it. I mean, don't get...
Okay, Merriam-Webster, I'm looking at it. It has it with the accent. I see it, though, in normal articles. You talk about a cloisonné vase or something, and it doesn't have it. Technically, it should have it. But you see, I'm against accents. I'm like Noah Webster. My goal is to eliminate accents from Spanish in particular.
But I wouldn't have guessed that it comes from claudere at all. That was really weird for me. But
oh, I do want to say that so far, if Fletcher, you got 7 correct and 3 wrong.
I got 3 wrong.
Okay. I want to say that again. 3 were wrong. 3.
Wait a minute. What did Fletcher get wrong? He got...
resuscitate cloisonné.
Oh, toboggan.
Yes.
Okay.
That sounds like a euphemism. Like, oh, toboggan. I did that wrong.
I swan.
You got 1 Algonquian wrong, and then 2, I mean, we weren't doing a scientific thing with it. And then you got resuscitate wrong. What else did he get wrong, Kath?
He got cloisonné.
It's interesting. You did, like, you basically went across the, I mean, technically cloisonné comes from the Latin, but it's really like a French, it came more directly from the French. You got 1 French, 1 Algonquian, and 1 Latin
so
wrong.
You're saying
that's pretty cool,
I can get things wrong in all kinds of languages, can't I?
Yeah I like that. Yeah I
thought that actually you were doing it to show us the breadth of possibilities.
I was spelling. That's true. Thank you for recognizing that, Kathy.
You're Saying It Wrong is part of the NPR network and is produced in the studios of KMUW in Wichita, Kansas by me, Fletcher Powell. Kathy Petras records from her home in Armilla, Spain. Ross Petras from his home in Toronto, Ontario in Canada. Torin Anderson composed our theme music. Our digital team is Beth Golay and Carly Cooper. Carly Cooper is also our video editor. You can subscribe to our channel on YouTube. You can find all of our past episodes by subscribing to the You're Saying It Wrong podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, or by visiting us at kmuw.org. If you have a question for Kathy and Ross, if you'd like to suggest a topic, or you just want to reach out, you can email me at powell@kmuw.org. or email them at kandrpetras@gmail.com. You can also record a voice memo of yourself asking your question. You might get your voice heard on air. Or you can download the KMUW app and press the Talk to Us button. You can find Kathy and Ross's books pretty much anywhere you get books, and a handful of them are also available on audiobook, read by the authors themselves. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week.
Each morning, it's a new opportunity, a chance to start fresh. A First from NPR makes each morning an opportunity to learn and to understand. Choose to join the world every morning with Up First, a podcast that hands you everything going on across the globe and down the street, all in 15 minutes or less. Start your day informed and anew with Up First by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts.